So this week we were talking, and Eli sent me a text. I was gone. I was with the family in Branson. And so he said, I need to see you, and we need to talk about some things that God has laid on my heart and doors that has opened. And I said, I'm not home. I can't do that, but I will be home, and we'll do that when that time comes. And in the meantime, Brad got back, and he was able to meet with Eli and talk with Emily. And so they decided that they were going to do this presentation that you just heard on Sunday evening. I said, I really don't want to do that. I said, I just know how it is in the summer, and I'm afraid it'll be too easy for people not to come. And I wanted them to hear you. And so he said, well, it's going to take up most of your time. And I said, it's not my time. It's God's time. And so I gladly surrender that. Now, I went ahead and prepared the message for the series that we're studying in 1 John, but somehow it just doesn't seem to fit now. And so we're not going to do that. So I want to share with you something else. That I felt inspired by what I've just heard. In John 1, verse 9, it says, the true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. And he was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet somehow the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. You just heard a personal testimony, an example of what this passage says. You even heard in that testimony references to the same imagery that appears here. Maybe it was car headlights that was referenced in the imagery you heard, but it says light. The reason that we are called, and by the way, it isn't the responsibility of the pastors or of a particular leader or a missionary to inspire the hearts of believers. It is the responsibility of the believer to seek inspiration that comes from the Holy Spirit that enables us for obedience. What we're doing here today, gathering together for worship, is an act of obedience. He tells us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. So yes, we should be here, but it doesn't end here. The obedience of faith does not end with the reality of the accomplishment of whatever religious task is next. The obedience of faith continues on so that we are all called as disciples to make more disciples. It doesn't matter whether we live in a Western culture saturated with the gospel to the point that people have grown indifferent. It is no different for us to be in this position today or for them in a day in which there was the very temple of God in the center of their community, and he came to his own, and his own did not know him. God forbid that those of us who would claim Christ as Savior would not also be burdened for the nations. God forbid that those of us who claim to have been transformed and changed by the gospel of which we have heard so much spoken this morning, that we would not also be inspired and inclined to share that gospel in the full realization that if we don't, our friends, our family members, our neighbors will indeed spend eternity in hell. The questions are hard to ask, even more difficult sometimes to hear the answers, and yet the reality remains the same. The light has been shined before us through Jesus Christ, and this is what John is declaring, that which he himself has experienced, that which he himself knows to be true. And he says he was in the world, and yet the world was so oblivious. It just occurred to me as I was listening to them and thinking about some of the experiences that they were sharing and what that would feel like. And that's what you have to do to benefit from a testimony like this, because you can't go there yourself right now. You can go later, but you can't go right now. And so you're trying to understand. You have to put yourself into the context of that different culture. You try to embrace and understand some of the things that are going to be relevant for us. But in all of it, what you start to realize is that while, yes, it may be different, it's not all that different. We still go to restaurants and cafes and have conversations with waiters and people that are lost as much as the young man that Eli talked to. We still have conversations with people that we are introduced to by friends who are lost, but we just never begin the conversation. We never speak of Jesus. We never bring up the reality, because it isn't common for us to do so anymore. We've grown oblivious to the gospel and to the truth of it. So that what we're hearing today about what's taking place in North Africa is a wonderful thing, but how much more profound would it be, or more inclined would we be as a church if the same thing was happening here? You heard him say, and you heard Emily say, they're Muslim because they're born into it. Not because they believe it. How many people believe themselves to be Christians because they're Americans? You say, well, nobody would believe that. I'm telling you, a lot of people believe that. There are millions of people today that believe they are Christians, not because they have any relationship whatsoever with Jesus Christ, but simply because they're Americans. I'm not saying that that is something that we should reject altogether. What I'm saying is that it's not enough. We have the same sort of realities taking place all around us. And the only hope of inspiring the church, this one, any other, or all of us collectively, the only hope of inspiring the church to share the gospel and to reach the nations and to move beyond the limitations of the borders is to do so here. The more that we are engaged in gospel encounters in this place where we live, doing what we do, the more we are inspired to send and go. I've been doing what I do a long time. We had a wedding yesterday, another shots extravaganza. No one does it better. I told them, I said, all the biggest services that I have ever done, whether it's a funeral or a wedding, had shots on the name. And it went great, and it was wonderful, and it was beautiful. And we loved it. But all of those experiences, as they come together, as we think about those things, and as we gather around the times that we have together, these relationships are inspired. I think back, it causes me to be nostalgic. Why? Because I'm old, and this is what old men do. We talk about the past. You know? And so I'm looking at these kids and I'm remembering back. You know, I'm thinking back when they didn't even exist. I'm doing weddings for people that I remember when they were born and before. And I remember the full array and gamut of all of the other experiences that have transpired during those times. Whether it's with this family or whether it's with any other family, I reflect on that. And it causes me to realize how interconnected we are and how time has moved in such a way that it causes us sometimes to become a little bit settled. I'm at that point in my life where I'm feeling this strong desire to be settled. I don't like being challenged anymore or pushed into things that I'm not comfortable with. I guess that's another way, maybe a little higher-minded way of saying I don't like change. And as I utter the words, I'm wondering, when did I really become the old man? I don't know, but apparently it's happened. But for all of the other old people here, and all of the young ones as well, let me offer you this. For us to become so complacent and satisfied with life to the degree that we become oblivious to the reality of the presence of the light among us. Whether it's because you're too caught up with the future before you or you're too connected to the past behind you. Both of them are the sin within you. If what we have heard today does nothing more than point us back to what the Bible teaches us regarding Jesus Christ as the light of the world, regarding the world that is in large part oblivious to that light, and then serves as the simplistic reminder to us, but to all who do believe in Him, to all who are called by His name, He is reminding us of what we have as the basis of hope. Listen to what He says it. To all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. Children of God. In the passage that we are in 1 John, in chapter 2, it begins with my little children. In verse 12. And I read that, and John uses that phrase a lot of times. Craig was reminding me that, you know, John was really old. All the other apostles were dead. All of the churches that he was writing to in Asia Minor, those churches, they were now fully developed. These were churches that had been in existence for most likely decades and had grown and become established. And yes, they were facing some struggles and some growing pains, but those are the ones that he's writing to. It's a very different environment that you see when you read, for instance, one of Paul's letters that's being written to a church that may have been in existence for months. These are churches that have been around a long time. He's looking back, and he's doing so as an old man, and he's reflecting on all that he has experienced from his relationship with Christ, following Him during the days of the disciple era until the death of Jesus, standing at the cross with Jesus' mother and receiving direct instructions from Him on the cross, then seeing the empty tomb and the resurrected Savior and the power of the Holy Spirit descending upon the apostles so that they go from being disciples who are learners to apostles who are sent ones. And he's seen everything in between, all of his brothers martyred and killed for their faith. And as he looks back, what is it that he clings to? He goes back to what he began with. He was coming. Jesus came into the world. He's the light of the world. The world did not know him, did not receive him, but to all who did receive him and who believed in his name, he gave the right to be adopted into the family of God. So I deviated from my previous path in order to say this one simple thing, and I did everything else to bring us to this single moment. Have you received Jesus? Have you believed in his name? If you have not, yes, you will spend eternity in hell. But you don't have to. If you're worried about all of the other people that you know that are like you that also would spend eternity in hell, then think about it like this. He's giving you the opportunity to be redeemed in this moment so that you, along with everyone else that's going to celebrate your faith, can now take on the responsibility of sharing that faith with all of those people that you instantly have concern for. If you're worried about whether God cares about your friends and family, then the fact that he's calling you is the evidence that he does, because you're the best equipped to share your story with them. Do you know Jesus? I'll be happy to share him with you, to pray with you as you confess him as Savior and Lord, to baptize you in identity with Christ, to help you share that faith with somebody else. And not only me, but this whole room of people who have now been inspired by the same Spirit and Word of Truth will likewise gladly rejoice to be a part of what God is doing in you. So thank you for sharing your heart and your experience. Church, thank you for supporting our young folks who are so obediently responding to God's call. And thank you for the freedom that an old pastor like me has to share the gospel in a way that I know is going to be received and is going to be responded to and will provide inspiration for all of us, not to be so caught up with what's ahead of us that we lose sight of what's around us, not to be so connected to what's behind us that we forget what's right in front of us, all the while being drawn back and reminded that the story doesn't end until we share Jesus.